Second Peter chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God will bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Would you ask the Lord to speak to your heart? Father, we pray that no one would grieve or quench the Spirit of God this day in the service and with what the Word of God would want to speak to us about. We pray, Lord, you'd magnify your Word in our hearts. It's what we all need, Father. We pray, God, that you would crowd out and drive out the voices that would be contrary to the voice of the Lord today. And God, you know we're needy people, and we stand in need of you every hour, and certainly this is no exception. We thank you for a new year that you've given us and life within it. We know, Lord, that many people didn't get to start a new year. Others buried a loved one. God, you've let us live, and you've let us live for a purpose. So we pray you'd help us to see that purpose. And Lord, that you would have your perfect will in our hearts and minds. We ask it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, the Bible here is, as Peter closes out his epistle, which, as you remember, if you've been with us through this journey, it's an epistle about growing in the Lord, even in a time of great apostasy. And as he ends this book, he's going to end it speaking much about the end times and the coming of our Lord, and how we need to be willing and cooperative with the Lord to grow in the Lord in the last days. He mentions that phrase in verse 3, the last days. And I would say this before I get started, that the promise of the coming of the Lord is really bedrock to your Christian growth, because this is what will happen. If you are not really conscious of the fact that Jesus could come soon and come quickly, if you are not looking for the Lord, then you are not going to be living your life as you should live your life in a day of apostasy, and you're not going to grow in the Lord. Why should we grow in the Lord? We should grow in the Lord and be better Christians because one day we're going to meet him. And if we really believe we're going to meet him this year, then my decisions of my life and my life will be made in such a way that I will conform myself to his image. Now, if I live my life like he's never going to come, or I'm ignoring that, then I'll just go on my merry way, live my life however I want to live, because I don't think about the consequences one day of meeting Jesus. You know how many people would not make the decisions that they make if they thought Jesus would come that day? You know how many people would start getting serious about their Christian life if they really thought Jesus was coming today? And here's the truth. It's not a doctrine in our head. The Bible says that if we have the hope of the return of the Lord in our hearts, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. And so if we're not purifying ourselves as Christians, then we really don't believe Jesus is coming. Now, you can tell me that, but, you know, talk's cheap. You only believe as much Bible as you practice. And so if I believe Jesus Christ is really coming, it'll make a difference in how I live my life. And so really, you can sum up a lot of things in our day of apostasy, but Christians live the way they do in disobedience to God because they don't think Jesus is coming, regardless of what their doctrinal statement is. And Peter, as he closes out his letter, he reminds them that the end of all things is at hand and things are going to come to a close. And that's why you need to be serious about your Christian life. And that's why you need to shun the apostasy of this world. And, of course, here we find people coming to dispute that. Would you look at verse 3 with me again? As we start, he says, knowing this first. Knowing this first. I apologize in advance for my coughing, all right? I'll try not to spit on you or cough on you, but if you don't stay awake, I'll walk through there and it might be dangerous, amen. So stay awake and I'll stay away from you, amen? That's a good deal, I'd say. Knowing this first. Now, Peter's he said that before. You know, and I don't think he's slipping his mind. He's writing under inspiration of the Scripture. But he said, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. But look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20 when he said that before. I don't know how many first things you can remember. But he said, but really they are connected. He said, knowing this first, there's going to be scoffers coming. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says in verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So, first of all, Peter says, I want you to know this first, that the Bible is not the word of man, it's the word of God. But then in chapter 3, he says, look at it with me again, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking there after their own lust, verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? How can both of those things be first? Because they are connected. Peter is saying this, you need to pay attention to the Word of God and understand the importance of the Word of God in contrast to what men are saying. You need to be more concerned about what God has said than what men are going to say to you. Knowing this first, God wrote a word and God gave you the Scripture and God gave you the rules and the pattern for your life and God gave you the answer for your heart. But men and scoffers are going to come along and they're going to put a question mark where God put a period. These scoffers come. The Bible also calls them mockers in Jude verse 18, almost reads exactly like our verse. And the Bible tells us in the little book of Jude to remember the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. Mockers in the last time. Scoffers in the last days. What is a scoffer? A scoffer is someone that ridicules or derides or mocks with contemptible words. In other words, Peter's saying, don't pay any attention to those that are ridiculing your beliefs or are ridiculing the Word of God or making fun of the things of God. You need to turn them off like a bad habit. And you should not be surprised when others come to speak against the Word of God. But Peter is trying to let us know why we should not listen to them. Look at your Bible again, verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. I got a question for you. Why would you listen to or care what somebody said or thinks when they cannot even control themselves? Peter says these scoffers, they are walking after their own lusts. And all of chapter 2, all of that information details for us the type of lives they live, the type of vanities they're involved in, how they cannot control the filth in their heart, how they cannot say no to temptation, how they're like brute beasts just following their own lust to corruption. And he's saying this, their eyes are full of adultery, they're full of addictions, they're full of lust of the flesh and wantonness. So the question is, why would you even care what a scoffer would say when their life is in the mess it's in? Now you say, well, okay, that's, you would be surprised at how many Christian people listen to someone else who's walking after their own lusts. I'm not talking about lost people. Matter of fact, you know, before I get into all this, you know, these people in 2 Peter chapter 3, they are people that believe in God. These scoffers are not the LGBTQ element OP crowd. These scoffers here are people that believe in creation. Look at verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the what? These scoffers are people that believe in creation. They're just not people that believe in all the words of the Creator. They believe in a God, but they don't believe in the God that said this. They have a God maybe of their own making. They have a God of religion possibly. They have a God, they believe in a Creator, but they don't believe in what God said and put it down there for you to read. So these scoffers many times are not people outside of religion or outside of believing God. But many times these scoffers are people that are in the middle of that. Remember chapter 2? He talked about them feasting with you. They're around you. They're associating themselves with the things of God. And yet they are scoffing some of the very things that you hold to be true as the promises of God and the things God's told you to hold on to. And God says this, don't listen to a scoffer because all they can do is walk after their own ungodly lust. They're out of control. How many Christians have listened to a friend that was a Christian, but they were out of control in their lives? In contrast to listening to somebody that as holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In contrast to listening to God, they're going to listen to a scoffer. Somebody that's just out of control. You know who else is out of control? Not just backslidden carnal Christians. Hey, if you listen to another carnal Christian, you're crazy. You might as well, amen, listen to Larry Flint. You say, well, they go to church. If they are walking after their own lust, they are not going to tell you anything that's going to be good for you. At some point, somebody's going to say, hey, I need to start listening to somebody that's controlled by the Holy Spirit instead of what their flesh tells them to do. So instead of listening to the scoffers, I'll click on Google and see what it says. I'll get my information from the internet. You're going to get you'd be surprised how many people, they read on the internet and they think it's true. You know, the only thing you can read that you know to be true is I'm holding it in my hand. That's it. Well, you know, I read and I've studied and I've seen and this book says, well, you may just be reading something from a scoffer. Why would you listen to someone that is out of control in their life? They can find no happiness in their own life. You think they're going to offer you any? You think they're going to offer you any understanding? The media world, the Hollywood world, the celebrity world, the actors and actresses, the sports figures. I don't care what LeBron James thinks. He can't control himself. I don't care what Lady Gugu thinks. I could care less. She's out of control, man. Anybody that's got that much coloring book written all over their body is out of control. So why would I care what she says? Why do I care what Carrie Underwear thinks? I don't care. Why do I care what all the pundits say that don't know God, their lives are out of control? They have no peace. They have no joy. They have no trust in the living God. They don't know their eternity. Why am I going to listen to the scoffer? Why am I even going to care what they think about how I live or what I believe? Because they are doing nothing but walking after their own ungodly lust. Oh, the higher education crowd. Yeah, have those people smoke dope. That's where all the professors came from, the higher education. They were all dope smokers in the 60s. They did LSD to enhance their brain. They're out of control. I just read an article yesterday about all the smart geeks in Silicon Valley that give us all of our little toys. You know what they do? It's all out in the papers. You may have read it yesterday. That they have big sex parties. They just all get together and like animals. That's what they do. Why would you be interested in the least of what a scoffer would say when they can't even say no to their own flesh? Knowing this first, that there shall come scoffers in the last days, scoffers walking after their own lusts. Why would I listen to them when they can't control themselves? Verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? Why should I listen to them when they deny the written word of God? I'm giving you three reasons why you should not listen to a scoffer. Why you should not care if they make fun of your beliefs, if they ridicule you, if they ridicule your lifestyle. And I'll tell you what, you know, there's Christians out there that are so weak in the faith that when they start being ridiculed for the way they live their life as a different life, they just fold their cards, man. They can't take the pressure. They can't take the embarrassment, or they can't take, hey, you know, I tell you what, if you'll stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ in the public square, you'll get over that embarrassment. But a lot of times these scoffers, they make Christians run and hide because of the mocking that they have to endure. And Peter said, look, just ignore that, because they are denying the written word of God. They're saying, where is the promise of his coming? We know Jesus said he was coming back, but he didn't come back yet. Where is he? Grandpa said he's coming back. Dad said he's coming back. I've heard you preachers talk about that. I've heard you Christians talk about that all these years. And he's still not back. Where is he coming? That's a question mark to the Word of God. Anybody that puts a question mark by the Word of God is someone akin to Satan in the Garden of Eden. I don't see it happening. Anyone that denies the written word of God, you just ought to just write them off, man. Don't care a thing about what they say. Where is the promise of his coming? That's a scoffer. Number 3, verse 5. Watch this. For this they willingly are ignorant of. Now look over here. Why should I listen to somebody or care what they think when they're not even control their own self, and when they deny the Word of God? And then why would I listen to anybody that's dumb on purpose? Y'all know what dumb on purpose is. You just read it. Look at it again. For this they are willingly ignorant of. You know, now it's one thing to be dumb. You know, everybody's not born on the high end of the gene pool. We understand that, right? Yeah, don't look at funny like that. Everybody is not born with the same intellect. And that's okay, right? Everybody's not born 6 foot tall. We've all got different genes. And some people are born a little short. Right? That's okay. Everybody can't be a rocket scientist. Paul said, hey, just be content with whatever you've been called. However God made you, just be content with that. Sometimes there's a blessing not having, you know, a lot of marbles. One guy said the bigger the belfry, the more room for the bats. But these aren't people that are ignorant or dumb because they grew up and they were never taught and they never learned to read or write, or they never had an opportunity to education, or they had some kind of disability. No. These scoffers, the Bible says, they are willingly ignorant. They are dumb on purpose. They want to be dumb. They want to be ignorant of the things of God. You know, God's given us a Bible. We don't have to be ignorant of anything. We don't have to be ignorant of anything God wants us to know. But you know, there are some people that don't want to know what that says. There are people that believe the Bible to be true, but they don't want to read it. They don't want to know how they're supposed to live. They don't want to know what's going to happen down in the future. They don't want to know about the last days. They don't want to hear the warnings that God has written down for them to understand. They want to be willingly ignorant. That's why they pick churches to go to that they'll never hear the preaching of the Word of God that'll affect their heart and their life. They want to be willingly ignorant. They want to go to a feel-good church where they'll never be responsible to, in their own mind, to hear and to know and obey all the precepts of the Word of God. These scoffers are people that are willingly ignorant. They're dumb on purpose. You can see that in our world in a lot of ways. Hey, these people that believe in evolution, they're dumb on purpose. They have chosen to believe a lie because they don't want to face a creator. There's nothing about evolution that makes sense, even in a scientific realm. But yet, I willingly will swallow the lie. Look, all this transgenderism, that's dumb on purpose, guys.
Amen.
It doesn't take much understanding to know what gender you are. And only a fool would think that they can classify themselves however they wish to do so. You've got to be willingly ignorant to do that. I think all the global warming stuff is willingly ignorant. I think a lot of those people know that that's not the case, but they, because of their own agenda, they're willingly putting out these things that they know not to be true. Willing ignorance. Here, these dumb people on purpose, look what they say. Verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. The first thing they say is everything is the same. Nothing ever changes. I mean, you got to be pretty dumb to think nothing ever changes. Everything continues now like it has from the very first day of creation. Really? You think so? Man, things have changed more than once in my lifetime. I'm talking about worldwide. Before the world wars happened, people had an idea of society. And then the whole apple cart was upset. The whole world was changed. Boundaries were erased. Beliefs were changed. Beliefs were born. The whole world changing. And of course, in the context of this, even the creation, even the very creation of the heavens and the earth, one day was changed after it was created. In the book of Genesis, things are just going to keep going the way they are. Now listen, if you're not careful, you'll have that same mentality too. Your life is not going to continue all the way like it always has. You know, if you keep living it, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to get old. You know what else is going to happen? You're going to have to start reaping what you've sown. You know what's going to happen? You're going to start seeing things in your kids that were false in your own life. There's going to be a day that you're going to have to pay the piper. Well, you know, I'm just every day getting up going, yeah, and one day you're going to meet God. Things are not going to continue unchanging. Your life is a vapor. It appears for a little time. It vanishes away. It's uncertain. Quit living your life like it's always going to be this way. And the scoffers say, everything's going to just keep going the same way. What if we have World War III tomorrow? What if Jesus comes today? What if you're hit with some deadly disease? I tell you what, I guarantee you, if you knew the possibility that all of your life would change in a moment of time, you would be a little bit more cautious to come to God and say, Lord, I want to do your will. Because I'm not assured of another day, or I'm not assured of another healthy day. You're not in control of how this life goes so vastly by. And things change so quickly. You know, there may be coming a day in our nation. It could be the next presidential election. And it's against the law for you to go witness in public. It might be against the law for you to follow your faith. And God's saying, why don't you not act like nothing is ever going to change, but understand the promise of God, understand that God is in control, and put your life into His hands so that He can control it. And you just concentrate on growing in the Lord and being all God wants you to be, so whatever happens in your life, you're committed to God. These dumb on purpose people, they think things never change. Look at what else he says. He says in verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old. So they believe in creation, but they don't believe that the word of God created the heavens. Maybe they're theistic evolutionists. Maybe they just believe God just let evolution, you know, take charge, though God was there superseding it or guiding it. But they do not believe that the Word of God spoke and the heavens were created. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The Bible says that Jesus upholds all things by the Word of His power. You see that in verse number 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store. It's the word of God that created the sun, moon, and the stars, and created man, and created the animals, and created light, and created all the laws of our universe. It was the word of God. Now, if the power of that word, the scoffers say, no, the word of God, no, it wasn't. Jesus, God didn't step out there and say, let there be light, and there was. God didn't say, let the earth bring forth the creatures. I love that. I love that every time I read that. I mean, out of the ground, just popped out the animals. Is that what it says? Let the earth bring forth the moving creatures. There's a rhino. That's great, man. Oh, I believe in God, but no, I don't believe in that. I believe in that. Let the dry land appear. There it is. Because God doesn't need any help to do anything. The Word of God is powerful enough to take care of it all. And that's what Peter's trying to get across to these first century Christians. Who cares about the scoffers? We have the written Word of God. We have the Bible that made the sun and moon and stars and hung them out there. And it popped out the earth and popped out the sea. And here go the fishes and there go the fowls. Because Jesus says, let there be, and it was so. The Son of God, let there be, and it's so. That's a word I can trust. That's a word that has power. There's no power in Silicon Valley's words. There's no power in Bill Gates' words. There's no power in, what's the dude that kicked the bucket, the Apple dude? Yeah, Steve Jobs. Who cares what he said? He's dead. And we're all going to die, but God's not going to die. Amen. And God put in your hand the living Word of God that's able to sanctify you, bring life into you, bring the answers to your problem, give peace to your mind, give understanding to the simple. Amen. He's put it all in your hand.
Amen.
And I don't have time to read it. And I don't have time to hear it preached. I don't have time to study it. But boy, I sure do have time to talk to my friends. I can chat with people that didn't have enough power in their word to blow the fuzz off a peanut. But I want to know what you think. What do you think about this? What do you say about this? Oh, have you heard this? Who cares? Can you make animals pop out of the ground? When you can, I'm interested. But we would more rather read a text, a tweet, a chat, an article, a book about somebody's word that has absolutely no power at all than reading the word of the Almighty God that has all power in heaven and earth, that can cause you to grow in the Lord and be different than you are right now. And the scoffers say, well, the heavens, they weren't the word of, the word of God is not, it's not that literal. No, it's that literal. One day I heard the literal word of God, and literally my sins were gone, and literally the Holy Spirit came to live in me, and literally I got eternal life that'll never pass away.
Amen.
That's how powerful that is.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Who are you listening to? Somebody in here is listening to scoffers, I guarantee you. I guarantee you, you're working with somebody, you listen to them more than you listen to a preacher a million times over. And you listen to the wrong voice. You need to listen to the Word of God and not a scoffer. And we've got plenty of them. Oh, I know what the Bible says, but why am I going to listen to somebody who's dumb on purpose? Look, drop down to verse 6. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. You know what else they're dumb about on purpose? They're dumb on purpose about the judgment of God. They do not want to entertain the thought that there is a punishment of ungodliness. They are ignorant willingly about the fact that there was a world in the past that was overthrown with water and that perished by the judgment of God. You say, well, what's this talking about? Is it talking about a gap? No, I don't believe. If you believe that, that's fine. Do whatever you want to do. But I'm preaching now, so I don't believe that. And I'll show you why I don't believe that. I just don't want to say that. Verse 6, look at it. Whereby the world that then was. Do you see that? Look at chapter 2, same writer, verse 5. And spared not the what? The old world. You see that? But saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. You see that? If you can't match those two verses, I'm not going to debate or teach you on the gap theory. I can show you a book back in my office how all that comes from somebody trying to reconcile science way back, 150 years ago. But who cares? What I'm trying to tell you right now is this, that these scoffers do not believe that one day the world was overflowed with water. When the earth is overflowed with water, that means it went all the way over it. And the Bible says they're ignorant of that. They're ignorant, and really they're ignorant of the previous verse. Look at the end of verse 5. The earth standing out of the water and in the water. Now, how is that possible? How can the earth, that's the whole globe, right? How can the whole globe stand out of the water but in the water? He just said in this verse, the whole globe was in the water. How is that possible? You read over there in Genesis when God created the heaven and the earth, and the Bible talks about the fact that there was a firmament above, and those things were separate. You know what Psalm, is it 145 says? Psalm 145 talks about the waters, listen now, the waters above the heavens. Now you go figure that one out. When God made everything, He put water above the heavens. Now we got the heaven we can see, that's the atmosphere up there. And then we've got the second heaven, that's the universe. And then we've got the third heaven. The Bible says he put waters above the heavens. Well, that's got to be at least above two of them. You say, is there water up there? Oh, there's still water up there. You know what separates God's third heaven from the universe? A sea. Read any Bible. There is a sea of glass that separates God, where God lives, from where we live. There's a lot of water up there. When God made this world, though, you know, it didn't rain. It never rained. Why? But well, because the earth was standing in the water. There was water all around the earth. Before Noah's day, the water covered the earth. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, go read it. That's one reason why they lived so long and had such great health and all that business. Because they were inside of a greenhouse. It was a canopy. The earth standing in the water, but out of the water. You say, how's that possible? It ain't hard with God. He put rings around Saturn just because he wanted to. Amen. He may look like a big old eyeball right there on Jupiter. He does what he wants to do. And he put the earth standing in the water and out of the water. But what happened? The wickedness of man was great, and the imaginations of his thought were only evil continually. And the scoffer said, well, that's all right. We're not going to pay for what we do. And the scoffer says, God didn't care. That stupid preacher down there, he cares, but nobody else cares. Nobody cares what he thinks. They're in the minority. Nobody lives like Noah and his family. They're a bunch of weirdos. Let's go watch the next sitcom. No, there's no consequence of how we live our life. That's what the scoffer said. And then the Bible said the fountains of the great deep were opened. You know, how could you overflow the whole landmass of the earth? You're not going to do it just with 40 days of rain, brother. Just telling you. The fountains of the great deep were open, and it never rained before, and that canopy, those waters that were above the heaven there, he opened that up and flooded that whole globe. And there wasn't a living soul around. They all died except Noah and his family. You know what the scoffer says? I don't believe that. I don't believe in real Noah. I don't believe in real Jonah. I don't believe in real whale got swallowed. I don't believe that. I don't believe all those animals went in the ark. Well, then just go ahead and listen to people whose lives are out of control. That's the choice. Or listen to the power of the Word of God. And God says, look, if you live this way, there is a judgment to be had. If you ignore my Word, if you ignore my Son, there is a judgment that will take place. This conversation, oh, we don't believe that. They're willingly ignorant of it. Every man knows in the depths of his heart there's a God. And every man knows in the depths of his heart he's going to meet God one day. And there's something eternal about him. And he's going to stand before God. But he pushes it out of his mind willingly. Just like some Christian people say, I know what I'm doing, God's going to be angry. I know he said whoremongers and adulterers God will judge, and God's angry with the wicked every day. I know what the Bible says, but I'm going to willingly be ignorant and push it out of my mind. I don't want to think about it. No consequences. Verse 6 says, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But you know the great thing is, you don't have to perish. You see verse 9? The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should what? Perish. But that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want you to perish. God wants to save you like he saved Noah. God wants to save your family like he saved Noah's family. God wants to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. He doesn't have delight and causing people to perish. He opens up the way and he waits and he's long-suffering and he's patient and kind. And he opens the door and says, come, repent. Don't listen to the scoffer, listen to me. The scoffer says no. Last thing he says, verse 7. These scoffers are ignorant of this, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store. Look at it. Reserved unto fire against the judgment, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. What are scoffers willingly ignorant of? That things do change. That the power of the Word of God created all things, and that God brought judgment in the past over ungodliness and caused that old world to perish. And fourthly, they're ignorant of the fact that He's going to do it again. But it will not be with a flood of water. It will be with a flood of fire. And the Bible says He's reserved. Look, you are not going to save this planet. God's going to burn this planet to pieces. He's going to burn this planet. He's going to burn the atmosphere. And Peter, in the end of this chapter, talks about all. He's going to melt it like you would melt the very elements of something. And it's just going to just melt the whole world. You don't even need to believe in global warming because there's a God that's going to make sure it happens. But it's going to be His judgment. He's waiting and He says, you know, I put that rainbow in the sky. I promised I'd never flood the earth with a flood of water again. I'll not do that. And all these thousands of years I've been patient and I've asked men to repent. And He says at the end of the day, there's going to be another day of judgment, and I'm going to flood this world with fire, and it's going to overflow the whole earth. It's going to destroy everything. And all those that are ungodly, and all those that are apostate, and all those that didn't see a need to repent, and didn't care what the Bible said, and didn't care about Jesus Christ, they're going to be burned with fire. And the scoffer said, I don't believe that. I don't believe there's a hell. I don't believe there's a lake of fire. I don't believe there's a coming day of judgment. You people have been talking about that all these years. Where's the promise of your coming? Where's the promise of His coming? Where's the promise of the day of judgment? We live our lives and nothing happens to us. People do whatever they want to and they have no consequences. Oh, there's great consequences. God just has a lot of patience. He has a lot of patience. You know why? He's not looking forward to the day that He sets everything on fire. But He will. And Peter's going to tell us, well, you say, preacher, I'm saved. I don't have to worry about that. Yeah. But at the end of this chapter, you know what he says? If you really believe that, what kind of person should you be? What kind of life should you live?